Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Hannah.
And simply put, we review cookbooks. We take one book for each episode and both cook a couple of dishes, then discuss what we liked, more likely what we didn't like, and give it a rating out of 5. Like all the best recipes, it's pretty simple.
And if you love what we do, we're now on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help cover the podcast costs from the books themselves, the ingredients of what we cook, and in return you'll get some fun stuff. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now for the podcast. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, Hannah.
That was slightly like meek. Hello. Are you there?
You're looking at me like, am I? Should I? Is it me? Should I go?
We didn't really allocate the high this time since we're both terrible
error.
At it.
Error. How's it going? We've nailed by.
How's going? How's life?
Good. Yeah, I just got back from holiday. I had a little
envious
week in Ibiza, but not that kind of week in Ibiza.
Vic chooses to like wait until she has a baby to go to Ibiza. Hitting up like Pasha with Marcus in his headphones.
It was great. So we went for a week. It was like all inclusive resort. For the kids' holiday.
Yeah. How was the food?
It was, I mean, obviously, it's me. I wasn't going to book a place that didn't have decent food reviews on their buffet. But I would love to read a dissertation on, British people at the hotel buffet. Because my God, what a place. Or just buff, you know, like, you just like the psychology of it, like the range of food that they serve.
No rhyme or reason.
Like, even when...
Mostly brown or beige, though.
Yes, yeah. Lots of chips. Obviously, it's Ibiza, so lots of churros, lots of Nutella. Nutella out the wazoo. I don't like Nutella, really.
I don't either.
Stephen and the kids, you know, the general population of kids at this place loved it. And my husband, who is almost 40.
He put it on?
Well, they had pancakes, but he also had it on some bread at some point.
Nice.
They also, every morning at this buffet, had a smoothie, I'm doing air quotes, made out of ice cream.
Health as well.
It's like, my God. And I just love it. I love watching what people get as on there. And I'm sure people like watching what I get as well, because I get a bit carried away. And every day I think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk along this buffet and see what they've got and then decide what I'm going
to get. Yeah. You have to do a lap.
No, I never do that. I'm always like, fucking, let's just go. Start at the pizza station. But yeah, it was fascinating, like, how they... Frankly, the food was quite good, and I respect the chefs for the level of, the mass catering that they have to do.
Yeah.
But, like, the buffet in the evening would be, like, themed, you know, Italian night, Indian night, and it would just be the same food repurposed. So, like, like chicken legs, one night would be like, I don't know, cacciatore chicken, and the next night would be tandoori chicken. And it would just be the same shit. And this buffet, like, obviously they know how to play to their audience, because every single day at lunch and dinner, there was just a giant pot of gravy, no matter what they were serving.
The classic, yeah, tikka masala and gravy.
Oh, well, and also, like, I was a bit offended, and, like, I just, like, rolled my eyes so much. Like, so it was themed every day, and the theme on a Sunday was literally Sunday roast.
You don't love a roast, do you, Vic?
I don't love a roast. But also, I'm on holiday in a different country. Why are you serving me fucking boiled carrots and like roast beef? Like, the people can manage without 1 week of their fucking roast.
Are you saying that, like, roast beef isn't in line with Balearic heritage food?
You know, I mean, there's a lot of problems with British people and the British life and food life that has food culture of native British people. But the distinct, like, aversion to eating anything that you can see its eyes or whatever is, I feel like, one of the, you know, you've got these nights where they have these beautiful fresh prawns they've literally probably just caught off the, you know, the boat that morning or whatever. All this gorgeous stuff, and then, like, you know, that everyone's just piling their plates high with chips and gravy and being like, oh, prawns.
It kind of reminds me of when I lived in Dubai, and you would go to these brunches at the weekend because they were, like, the best value way to drink, basically.
Yes.
Like, a pint is like 20 quid or something, but if you go to this brunch you pay like 60 quid and it's all you can eat and it's, like, all you can drink, and they're horrendous. Like, you're, like, so dressed up at 11:30 in the morning getting in a cab to go to this to start drinking unlimited alcohol at 12 o'clock in the day. But the buffets are so random. And you need to eat, right? Because you're drinking.
Yeah.
And most of the like, the shitty ones, right? There's decent ones out there. But, like, you would come back to your plate, to your table, and have, like, a plate of, like, some spring rolls, some hummus bread, maybe, like, a couscous salad, some pasta on the side, a slice of pizza. It's, like, around the world. Being around the world.
And I love a buffet, don't get me wrong. I've been to Vegas. I would go back to Vegas and spend all my money on there. The good buffets, obviously, but it's just it's the too much appreciation for the beige food. It's like, onion rings. But it, you know, it's a great people watching tool, and I loved it, and, you know, I appreciate it.
Do you think it's an exclusively British thing, though? Like, surely other nations are just as weird. You know, if they're on a package holiday as well, like the French, the Germans, maybe, you know, they must be guilty of it too. Or do you think it's targeted exclusively at the British people?
I guess that's the million-dollar question. I did, there was a group, towards the end of the holiday, a group of, like, Spanish women that were there. Mm. And I can honestly say, from peeking at some of their plates, they were a bit more sensible with their choices. And I was
tapas spread is quite weird.
So, yeah, but I'm sure, you know, some other cultures have it, but I think that a buffet, and also, like, there's just such a distinct look to a British person, isn't there?
Like, and an Irish person.
And an Irish person, yeah.
The big Irish head on them.
And I think it's never more prevalent than when you're on holiday in a European country. Anyway, as much as maybe we should do a minisode about, you know, what our dream buffet would be.
Well, I think, you know, this is a good segue, because arguably buffet is fusion food, and this is
she's done it again.
Mezcla of flavours. You're welcome. BBC, call me. Right, so we are talking about the colourful little book called Mezcla by Easter Belfridge. You laughed at me last time for saying Belfridge, and now I've been vindicated because I looked at her Instagram and it is Belfridge.
That is so, yeah. But it's not spelt with an I. It's spelt with an A. Belfrage.
No. But you can't apply that logic to anything in the English language.
You literally cannot. Really or the like, Irish language. No, we're not just putting that on English people now, Missy.
Maybe we just need a side podcast of like bashing the British and Irish. Anyway, shall I tell you a little bit about Easter?
Please. The person, not the holiday.
Easter? Oh, God. Poor gal. So, yeah. Obviously, she talks about the, her kind of background in at the start of this book as well, because it's the kind of basis for everything, right? That basically her mum is Brazilian and her dad was born in the US but moved to Mexico when he was 14, and that's where he met Easter's mother. He worked in wine, I think, and I saw just on Instagram this week that he had passed away, so that is really sad for her.
Oh, that is sad.
But yeah, I think they were really close and obviously had like a foodie wine kind of bond. But they met, her parents met in Mexico, and then I get the sense that he kind of traveled around a lot for his job. And so she lived in Easter, she lived in Tuscany for 4 years, which she calls her formative childhood years. And she has loads of memories from Italy and everything there, and she kind of talks about them a lot in this book. Her best friend in Italy, her family ran a restaurant, and it's like a classic Italian trattoria, and the food was amazing. The granddad made all the pasta for the restaurant in the laundry room, and wow. She would just like go hang out with him and watch him cook, which just like fucking idyllic. Like, that sounds incredible.
Jeez.
So there's lots of kind of Italian inspired recipes in here. There's like pastas and ragouts and stuff, but there's a lot of Brazilian influence, obviously, from her mum. And Issa actually lived in Brazil for a year when she was 19. So, yeah, she grew up kind of all over the place. And then she's not classically trained, which is always fun. She says that she thinks that like, makes her kind of think about shortcuts and stuff in a way that she's just, like, she's not kind of constrained by this is the proper way to do things. Like, if she can find a hack, she's gonna do it, which we like.
Yeah, love that for her.
So she started working in Nopi, which is one of Ottolenghi's restaurants.
Is that the one in central, like very central London, like in just off Oxford
yes.
Street? With like yeah, the downstairs with the open kitchen. Yeah, and the crazy toilets that are all mirrored.
Yes.
And you can't get out. Like, it's really, you struggle to get out because you don't know what is the door and what is the wall.
Yeah. I do feel like I went there a few years ago and I did feel like it was quite expensive.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, it is.
It was like, you know, like all the big Ottolenghi platters of salads kind of out. And you could get them for lunch to take away and it was like £7 or something. But in the evening when they were like spooned onto your plate, it was like £15 a yes. serving or something like that. And I don't know. I have the cookbook, the Nopi cookbook as well. And it's quite like fine dining, yeah. not fine dining-y, but it's, yeah. It's
I feel like that's the most like up market one of his restaurants, yeah. right? I feel like yes, my 100%. Top tip for anyone I was going to say coming to London, going to London, I don't live there anymore, and wanting to go to Ottolenghi is go for breakfast or yeah. brunch. I feel like that I've been to breakfast at Nopi, I've been to breakfast at Ottolenghi in Spitalfields, and it's just better. Like, you get yeah. more value for money, you get all that delicious stuff, take a cake yeah. away for your lunch.
Exactly, yeah, you see the beautiful, like, cake platters yeah. and stuff, yeah. So she starts working at Nopi, and then she moved into the Ottolenghi Test Kitchen, where she worked for 5 years, which is quite a long time. Yeah, I mean, I think that was kind of the making of her, right? So she says it was a fantastic place to work, that there was just so many influences. And then she worked with Ottolenghi on the book Flavor, which we both have. She has a credit on that book.
Yes.
It's not just him, which is also nice. I think that was the first time I heard of her. I feel like yeah. that was kind of her breakout moment. And it's a really good book. It's just, yeah, we've talked about it before and it's got some great stuff. So I think after that, what happened was that she just got kind of bigger and bigger and had the opportunity to kind of go it alone. And she said that she spoke to Ottolenghi about it, and she was offered the deal for this book, Mezcla, and she was a bit like, oh, but I kind of want to still, like, can I work, like, part-time at the test kitchen? Can I, you know, work on the book at the same time? And he basically said to her, you know, if you're going to go do your own thing, just go do it, and just, like, you know, kind of have faith and get behind it completely. And she did. She said she was really grateful to him for that. So it seems like they're still really good friends, but he was, yeah, very much kind of her mentor, or mentor, yeah, I think, for a while.
What a mentor.
Jesus. Yeah. She said, like, when she worked at the test kitchen, it was, you had a lot of freedom and you could do whatever you like, but it still had to have that kind of, like, Ottolenghi angle. Whereas now she feels a bit more free to kind of do whatever she wants. And I think you can see that a lot in this book.
But I think it's also, this book is definitely, you can tell she's worked for Ottolenghi, or she
100%
has worked with him. Like, there's a lot of, just even the way the book is laid out.
Yes.
And it's interesting. Well,
yeah, I think it's the same publisher. I wonder, because I thought I read something that it was. Yeah, this book obviously is called Mezcla, which means, like, a mix in Spanish. So she talks a lot about, a lot of the kind of PR interviews around when this came out was like, she wants to bring back the word fusion in a kind of more positive way, that it doesn't need to be this kind of, like, chaotic, doesn't make sense combinations, that there's a lot of influences that are similar across different cultures, and that, you know, to marry them up just makes sense a lot of the time. And yeah, the book is, it's got this very kind of lurid orange pink cover, which is fun. And then it's divided up into, like, veg, meat, fish, everyday, which I wouldn't say, I mean, we can talk about that, but I wouldn't say there's a huge amount of, like, everyday stuff in here. I do think, I feel like it's kind of a more of a,
yeah,
entertaining book, but that's okay. And this is her first one, but it's making quite a buzz, so
such a buzz.
It's fun to do it.
It was entirely consuming my social media feed,
yeah,
for about, yeah, 3 weeks running up to and after the launch of it. It was really, like, yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, massive. And, like, continues to be. I feel,
yeah,
like she's everywhere, right? She was down, I always say down in Bristol, it's not down. She was over in Bristol doing, like, you know, a guest spot at Sunny Stores, where, yes, you and I went for dinner, wasn't,
yes,
she?
And, she's, and it, just that, like, sold out in, like, 4 minutes or something, the,
yeah,
her being there. And
I think she's another kind of Ravneet in that she's quite well connected, she works hard, she's kind of everywhere. She did a guest pizza for yard sale recently,
yes,
and then she, during lockdown, she had, like, one of those, like, ingredient recipe boxes thing,
yeah,
on Dishpatch. She's kind of, you know, she does lots of partnerships, and she does yeah, she grafts quite hard.
Smartly.
What were your first impressions of the book?
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's really nice. I maybe was a little bit cynical when it was all the hype about,
yeah,
her and about this book, because I didn't know. Yeah, is she just a posho
flash in the pan,
yes, with, you know, good connections, and she's decided to write a book, and she, you know, obviously I don't think Yotam Ottolenghi is effing around with just anybody, so I respect that. But the more I saw of it, and the more I saw people posting some of the recipes for it, I was like, oh, okay, I have to have
yeah,
this. And shout out to my brother Jonathan, who bought me this for my birthday. He's my actual brother. Aww. not in a Jamie Oliver's, like, weird, like, hey brother, that he always talks about, you know, he watches shows and he's like, hey brother, particularly when he goes to America, and I'm, like, so embarrassed for him. Anyway, should Jamie Oliver mention of
ding,
the week,
ding, ding, ding.
Jamie Oliver dig of the week. Yeah, it's beautiful. All the pictures are gorgeous.
And there's almost a picture for every recipe,
yes,
isn't there?
So, yeah. Ding, ding, ding for me. I feel like everything looks kind of spicy. Like, everything's quite, like, orange or red, right? Or
so much red.
Yeah.
So if you notice it and you flick through all the photos, you're like, red, red,
yeah,
red, 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 red. And it's jam-packed. I feel like I find a new recipe every time I open it.
Yes.
There's loads in here.
I feel like you're going to tell me what you cooked and I'm going to be like, oh, I didn't even see that. There's desserts in there as well. And she has two dessert sections. She has like a quick fix section and then like a fancy boy section.
Fancy boy. That's right. Fancy woman. Do you use that phrase here? Or I think it's an Irish thing, but it's like if someone's having an affair, the person they're having their affair with is their fancy woman.
Oh, I feel like I've heard that, yeah, but I wouldn't like
use it. He's after this fancy woman. So good.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's there's also a section in a very Ottolenghi fashion in the beginning about her, the ingredients that she likes and like what you kind of need, what she thinks you need for your pantry, and like explaining how different things work, which is very common and in Ottolenghi's books, but also I think Ottolenghi has made it common in a lot of that. We say that about a lot of the books that we do, right? Like they've got this section where they explain their pantry, and this is no different.
I found it funny and like, you know, indicative of now in terms of plant-based milks that she had to clarify that coconut milk doesn't need an explanation, but when she calls for it she means the type from a tin, not like a weird coconut milk you use in your coffee. What is life?
Yeah, that is funny. And I guess that's also why she, because I made something with coconut milk in and it's like it must be at least 70% coconut, and it's like that's why she's saying it.
What's your plant milk of choice?
Mine,
yeah,
oat.
Yeah, I'm an oat girl too.
But I also, I mean, I like them all. You know, there's a place for all of them. Well,
some of them are stinky.
Do you think? Like what?
Some of them stink. Some of the oat ones are just yuck. I only really like Oatly. I don't.
You're so fancy.
I am fancy. Yeah, I deserve it.
You do deserve it.
She works hard for money.
I do also like, and I hate to mention, you know, multinational conglomerates on this podcast, but I do like Starbucks's nut milk blend.
Nut milk blend?
Yeah.
What is it, almond and like cashew or something?
No idea. I just trust them. Who knows what nuts they throw in there.
Who knows what nuts they're milking?
But, so basically, it's a beautiful book. We loved it. To look at.
To look at. Not getting to the end just yet. Yeah, mine, Doug munched on the corn. Doug, just for a reminder for people, is my dog. Not, you know, a pal that likes to munch on cookbooks. Munched on the corner of mine and I got so angry. I was like, no! It's just a lovely book. It's very exciting. I Mexican and kind of Brazilian. Mexican, for me, is the most interesting anyway. So you see things like three cheese quesadillas with habanero oil. I was like, holy mother.
Yeah.
Sign me up. But I don't have a tortilla press. But she does actually offer an alternative,
I think. You do it between like two pans?
Yes, I think so. I would like a tortilla press, but I've probably never used it.
Yeah, but like, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, once you have it and you've got the nice, you've got the flour, the corn, then flour. Like, who doesn't love fresh, like, real corn, fresh tortillas?
Yeah. Just shout, like, anyone listening, it is my birthday soon, so, you know, tortilla press. Tortilla press.
Because then you could make three cheese quesadillas with habanero chili oil.
What did you think? I mean, I'm sure we'll cover this, but did you feel like some of the ingredients were a bit tricky to find?
Wow, you're really jumping ahead to the...
I'm sorry, but, like, that was my first thought. When I saw, like, lots of it, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to find that. Not sure if I'll be able to get that. Like, you know, our chili game isn't very good here in terms of, like...
Yeah, like, differentiating. Easy for me to say. between... It's just, you just go to the shop and you get chilies, right? You finger chilies and chilies is basically green, red.
So sometimes you find, like, a jalapeno in the green and you're like, oh, hi. Yeah. Didn't know we could get those.
Yeah, and then sometimes you go to, like, an Asian supermarket wherever they've got, like, real jalapenos in that, like, dark green colour, and you're like, oh my god, hook them up to my fans.
So good. Fresh jalapenos are amazing. I was very excited by the TV chips.
Yes, me too.
As well. So this is just like a tray of chips that she has. Yes. So you make the chips and then she, like, scatters stuff all over them, and she says that it's just best to eat them in front of the TV. So she puts, like, pickled onions, this Parmesan cream, a Scotch bonnet salsa, and tuna. Oh, I love Scotch bonnet. And then like herbs. I just love that. That's brilliant. You could, if you're having someone around, I don't know, if you, or if you're just going to watch a film or something, that's a great couch dinner.
Yes. Ugh. There's a lot of that, like good stuff for, and she calls it entertaining, like kind of, or something, right? Like it's not very Alison Romany.
Yeah, why is everyone shying away from this entertaining thing? Like we're all doing it, so let's, I don't know.
Everybody's
funny.
Doing it, it's just nobody talks about it. Yeah, but a lot of that, like just, oh, just serve it in the tin that you make it in, or it's very like not one potty, but like just very easy but impressive stuff. There's things like, well, spoiler alert, I didn't make the cornbread that's all over everywhere because I could not find quick cook polenta.
This is what I'm talking about. This is why I was asking about the ingredients thing, because sadly, yeah, some of these bits are a little bit hard to find. Couldn't find any. What is the difference? What is quick cook polenta? So just like not the...
Well, she says in there, I guess it's like it's a little bit pre-cooked, and she says it has to... On the packet, it has to say it cooks within 8 minutes or less, otherwise it won't work. But that is, well, I couldn't find it, and I looked in at least two shops. And
it was an expedition.
Yeah, I feel like polenta is just not a common ingredient, at least around here. Or it is, and it's like, it's maize or, what is the word?
Corn. Semolina.
Yeah, and it's all the same, right? But it's just, it's often in like the South Asian section, and so it doesn't have any cooking instructions on it.
Yes, it's kind of, you know. But that cornbread is it the brown butter curried cornbread?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds and looks amazing.
I need to make it, but, you know. So if anybody wants to send me some quick cook polenta, I will make it. Yeah. For them.
Your ask is more humble than my tortilla press one. So what did you cook, pal?
I'm excited to tell you.
Ooh.
I made two things.
Okay.
They were both great. Anyway, so the first thing I made was the butternut and sage lasagna gratin.
Ooh.
Did you also make...
Made...
Oh my God!
Well, so what happened was I made my two things.
Yeah.
And then that they're the things I'm going to talk about in detail. But then my friend Louise was coming back from holiday yesterday, and I wanted to make them something that they could just put in the oven when they got back from the airport. And I made them that. So I messaged her this morning being like, can you tell me what it tasted like? Because I didn't eat it. So this is great. You're going to be able to tell us what it was like.
It's great. Did she like it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. I think she said it was like a lighter lasagna and fresher tasting.
Yeah.
And you don't have to make a bechamel, right?
Yes. It's called a lasagna gratin because it's lasagna sheets and then your butternut squash, but you don't have to pre-cook anything because you pour like a stock over the top of it all once it's layered up, and that cooks everything in the oven, and it just makes it really easy to make.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. Like, you put on the oven at the start of the recipe, right? And I was like, really? By the time the oven's preheated, am I going to have everything ready? But you actually do. It felt like fairly low maintenance.
Yeah. I think the hardest thing is slicing the squash thinly. I don't have a mandolin, so I had just kind of... But, I feel like maybe mine were a bit big. So she says 4 millimetres, right? Into 4 millimetre half moons. It's still cooked when I cooked it. So you, it's half a butternut squash, you core it and peel it, and then you slice into 4 millimeter half moons, and then you put that in a bowl and mix it all together. She says it's best with your hands, with halved cherry tomatoes, garlic, tomato puree, salt, loads of chopped sage and oil, and you kind of mix up. Yeah, I feel like
it smells
so good. I feel like you only really ever get it with butternut squash and often in like a ravioli or like something, but this is really nice. Like, obviously it's still butternut, but it's lovely.
You just reminded me, remember when I went to Cafe Cecilia last year and they did these sage and anchovy like little fried things.
Oh,
so it
yes.
was like two leaves of sage and there was an anchovy between them, and then it was in this really, really light like tempura style batter. Oh my God, I think there was an aioli or something you dipped into. Oh,
that sounds
God,
great.
So good.
Anyway. We love sage. And then you make Yes, a Parmesan cream. So you leave that in a bowl. It's all, you know, mixing together. You make a Parmesan cream, which is literally Parmesan cream and a bit of nutmeg.
Yeah.
And then you layer it up. So you've got dry lasagna sheets and you go lasagna sheet, butternut squash mix, like spread out, cream. And you just do that until you run out of...
Yeah.
She says the tin size. It's just a standard like 23 centimeter by 26 or something. Like baking tin. You don't need any special things for it. And then you pour a stock all over it. She says to use chicken or bone broth. I was making it for a little mommy meetup where we have a vegetarian, so I made it with veggie stock.
Nice.
And then you just cover it really tightly and put it in the oven for 50 minutes. I built it and left it in the fridge overnight and cooked it off the next day.
Yeah, nice.
Just because that was when the meetup was, but that worked really well. You put the stock on just before you bake it. You don't leave that in overnight. You do 50 minutes in the oven, take it out, foil off, and then you put... You leave some of that Parmesan cream mixture off, right? And then you put that on the top. Put it back in for 10 or so minutes, take it out again, and you've got like a little, some sage leaves and oil, which you then drizzle over the top. Cook that until they're crispy and the top is crispy. Then it's done. You leave it to set, not set, leave it to cool. You drizzle some cream on top, right? And then she says salt, pepper, Parmesan on top, and then boom, serve.
Boom, boom.
It went down a storm at my little mommy meetup. I was a little bit worried when it was in the fridge. This is the thing about all these recipes, I don't know if you felt the same. All of them made my house smell amazing. Like really like aroma full. Is that a word? I'm making it a word.
Aromatic.
Yeah, there, that would be it. English language is going well for me. But I felt like the garlic smelled so strong. There's only like 5 cloves in it in the mixture.
Yeah.
But the flavours were perfect when it was cooked. I loved it. And I was also a little bit worried about my cream because the Parmesan mix goes so thick, doesn't it? Did that happen to you?
So much Parmesan. Yes. And I was grating it with a microplane as well, so it was making like, you know, the fluffy cloud getting bigger and bigger. I didn't, because I wasn't going to be there at the end of it being heated up, I didn't do the cream drizzle thing over the top. Yeah, I thought that, like, when you were mixing everything in the big bowl, the squash and the tomatoes and the sage, I was like, oh my God, this smells incredible. Yeah. I think that's a really smart recipe. Mm. It's really low key. The longest thing is like how much time it needs to cook, and you don't have to arse around making a bechamel. It tastes relatively like light, or you know, it looks like it. I don't know because I didn't taste it.
Yeah,
it looks like it's like relatively light and doesn't feel too heavy, and quite like lots of veggies.
Yeah,
in there. It's
just like... And she says, doesn't she, in the intro to it? She's like, I've kept this simple, but you could add spinach or chard or ham or whatever you want to add to it. I think that was my only, you know, reservation about it was I felt like it should have been more. I wish there was more layers. If I could have doubled the recipe, and because I felt like I'd finished all what I had, and I was like, oh, it's only about 3 layers deep or whatever. And I was like, I want more. But you could obviously make it in a smaller tin, and it would be the same, you know, and you feel like you'd have more layers. But yeah, and everyone commented that it was lovely, and I don't know if they're just being nice to me, but I tried some and I thought it was nice.
It's a good hit. I'd definitely make that again.
Yeah, me too.
Really, really good.
And really easy to make it veggie. She suggests chicken stock or bone broth, but I used veggie stock and it was absolutely fine.
Same. Yeah, love it.
Love it. Yeah, big hit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
She does have a prawn lasagna recipe, which is another one of the like, viral ones.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, which I think is a bit more involved.
She likes a prawn.
Yeah, she does. She likes fish. Yeah. Altogether. Cool.
Hey, you like fish?
fish sticks.
It's also worth saying that a lot of the veggie recipes, she has a vegan replacement.
Yes,
sometimes.
She does.
So she says here that you could use a plant-based cream and cheese to keep it vegan. So
yeah,
we like that. And she has like make ahead notes as well.
Yes. And then the second thing I made was incredible. Ooh. Made it last night. And my husband, who eats most things I make for the pod, said it was the best thing he's ever eaten.
Shut
for the pod
up. What was it?
It was roast chicken curry with crispy curry leaves.
Nice. Fresh curry leaves do you use for that then?
Fresh curry leaves, yes. And it's a whole chicken.
Right.
A whole chicken. Spatchcocked.
Whoa, I think I've seen the picture.
Yeah.
poor little spatchcock chickens always look so undignified, don't they?
They do.
Their little knees bent together. Cover me up.
Their backbone cut out.
Oh!
It's hard for them.
Oh.
Yes. It's basically a spatchcock chicken marinated in like a curry marinade and then cooked in the same pan as a curry sauce, like over a curry sauce. Ooh. So all the nice chicken fat and juices go into the sauce.
The schmaltz.
And then you just serve it.
Oh.
It's great.
Just that? Or does it is with rice or anything like that?
She doesn't suggest what to serve it with, strangely.
Okay.
I served it with rice and paratha because I'm
a dream wife.
Because it's quite a...
That's what you are.
It's quite a saucy little sauce.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, do you want bread? Do you want rice? So we had it all.
Oh.
It's great. So you marinate... So you make a marinade out of mayonnaise.
Oh, yes. Baby.
I knew you'd like that.
Hellman's only, I hope.
Yeah, full fat, of course.
Thank you.
Mayonnaise, olive oil, medium curry powder. This is what I think is fascinating about this book. There's some things which she's very specific about. Like the chili powder in this recipe has to be cayenne or Kashmiri chili powder. But the curry powder is just medium curry powder, which I think is an interesting juxtaposition. Anyway, curry powder, chili powder and salt. And so you spatchcock your chicken. She says in the recipe, she's like, I'm not going to tell you how to spatchcock chicken. Go watch a YouTube video about it.
Love that.
It's really easy. Or get your butcher to do it and watch them closely. Sorry. And
I always watch my butcher closely. I don't know about you. My night vision goggles.
That's creepy.
Why else would I be going to the
Anyway. So yeah, you marinate the chicken. She says you can marinate for as long as you want overnight. Well, not as long as you want because the chicken would go off. But overnight if you want in the fridge, and then you bring it to room temperature before you're gonna like roast it. And then you make a curry sauce, and that is coconut milk, tomato puree, ginger, cherry tomatoes, onion, chili powder, curry powder, turmeric, maple syrup, which she loves, water and salt. And you just kind of mix all that together. And then you're supposed to put it in a blender,
mm-hmm.
To make it smooth. I just hand blended it. You didn't need to know that. I blended it. And then you put that in the bottom of a tin. She says the roasting tray size is important. And she suggests 32 by 26, but I don't have a thing that big. I made it in, I've got like a round, a kind of a wide flat La Cruze Dutch oven thing, and that's, it's a 3.5 liter, I think it's 30 centimeters in diameter, just to say, and it worked absolutely fine. Like, that's a, so that's generally a bit smaller than she suggests. He's like, if your tray is larger, like, who has giant roasting trays hanging around in their house? And because I was worried that it was, it would make, it would be too saucy and the chicken wouldn't crisp up with that size. But anyway, it did. You put it in the oven at like a really high heat for 50 minutes. It's like 230 degrees for 40 minutes. And then it should be done. And it was done. I was surprised. I was like, whoa, that's quick. But it, yeah. So the, the skin crisps up on the chicken, all the lovely like sauce thickens up. You take it out, you rest it for 15 minutes. Whilst it's resting, you get some oil and you cook some sliced red chilies and your curry leaves in the oil.
Ooh.
Drain the oil and then like scatter those on top. So you've got like crispy curry leaves and crispy chili.
Dreaming.
And serve it.
Oh, was it good?
It was really good. It was, it tasted like a takeaway curry. Like, and that, I think that's very hard to get. Takeaway curries are full of cream and sugar and salt. And that isn't, but it was just, and it was, it's so big. It would be, it, it was easy. You just kind of threw it in, again, made the house smell amazing.
Yeah.
Like I said, rice, but it would be fine with just bread. The chicken cooked amazingly. It was really like moist. That's what she says about the mayonnaise. It's supposed to help it stay moist and that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. Oh, it was great. We've got loads left over. She says if you've got leftovers, you should make her chicken cannelloni enchiladas, which are on the next page.
Fun.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to eat a chicken curry sandwich, I think, today with it. But it's so good. If I hope that recipe is available online, because if anybody, if you eat chicken and you like curry,
which,
who are you if you don't? it's great. And like I said, the only other person that tried it said it was amazing. So
that's so good.
Big hitter. Yeah, I was really happy that I looked at it, because you don't really need the curry leaves on top if you don't, if you can't get curry leaves, because they're just for sprinkling.
Yeah,
they're not in the recipe. And I had some in the freezer because I found some in the shop the other week, and I was like, oh, amazing! I'm gonna freeze them because they go off so quickly. And so I'm glad I had them and I looked twice at the recipe. But you wouldn't, if you just wanted to do chilies on top or whatever,
it would just then be good.
That would be absolutely fine. It was amazing.
She's really smart, isn't she? She's really good. Yeah. I can totally see why anyone would be cynical about like her getting a lot of buzz and stuff at the moment. But I think having, you know, again, I'm jumping ahead, but like having done the recipes and stuff, I think she's really talented. She's got a really good instinct and the recipes are solid. And she deserves the hype. I think she's just
absolutely
great.
Yeah, I've absolutely changed my mind about, I don't feel cynical about her at all anymore. I think she's, like you said, nothing about either of those things that I made felt like I was guessing. The timings were perfect.
Yes.
Everything cooked well. And I felt like they were much easier than I imagined they were going to be based on what the pictures looked like and, you know, what they... Anyway, what did you make?
Super. We know I made the butternut sage lasagna gratin. I don't think we need to talk about that anymore, but I enjoyed making that. And I think it's a great, like that if you want to make something ahead or you want to make something to drop around to a friend's house or something. Love that. The first thing I made was the charred red pepper sauce with omelette noodles.
Ooh.
Another red dish. Lots of red.
Red dish, red peppers. She loves it.
So she says she's called it charred red pepper sauce with omelette noodles rather than omelette noodles with pepper sauce, because kind of the sauce is the main thing here, and that you could make that sauce and serve it with pasta or gnocchi. But the omelette noodles are fun for anyone who's gluten-free or on a grain-free diet or who just loves eggs. So I love that. And it's actually... Yeah. Genius. I've never thought about omelette as noodles, basically. Like, we had that whole, like, courgette phase. And I think, screw that. You could have been doing it with eggs. This was great. So, basically, you kind of, you grill the peppers, this Romano peppers, there's three of them. You just grill them until they're black. So, like, 7-8 minutes on one side and 4 on the other. until they're just, yeah, they're kind of blackened in patches. And then you heat, you basically mix this stuff with the omelets, which is just eggs, a little bit of milk or water, and you put that in a measuring jug. And then you heat up a big pan and you pour kind of a quarter of the egg mix in there. So it should be like a crepe, quite thin omelet.
Lovely.
And you don't cook it for very long, until it's like, she says 1 minute 15, again very precise, which is great, or until the top of the omelet is no longer wet and sticky. And then you take that off the heat and you use the spatula to roll it into like a fajita kind of roll, like of an omelet. Yeah. And slide it out into a board, and you do that 4 times basically to make all these omelet rolls. And then meanwhile you take the stalks and seeds from the charred peppers and you put them in a blender with garlic, double cream, oil, lemon zest and juice, which the lemon is key, it makes such a difference here, it really like lifts it, parmesan, bit of nutmeg, tomato puree and salt and pepper. So you blitz all that to make this just sauce. And again, I had almost everything for this in the house, which was really nice.
Yeah, that's great.
And then you go back to your omelette rolls and they're kind of like lined up on a board, and you just like slice them into widthways at 2 centimetres. And then you kind of use your hands to like separate out so that they kind of unravel into noodles. And then you put back the sauce back in the pan, and then you add the noodles and just like very carefully kind of let them toss in the sauce and heat it all up, and serve it up with Parmesan. Oil and black pepper. And it was so delicious. That sauce was so good. The cream and the smoky red pepper and the lemon. My mouth is watering now. It was just fucking delicious. I tasted it and was like, you know, when you're for a second, you're like, wow, this is so good. And I just loved it. I really like the omelette as noodles thing. I think that's genius.
Yeah, I do as well.
There was some sauce left over because I didn't make all the omelette noodles, basically. And then the next day, I just like spread the sauce on toast with a drizzle of olive oil. Oh my God, it was so delicious. I would really recommend that sauce for pasta or however. Yeah, literally on toast. It's just super, so good. I love it.
You, Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. Would you make the omelette noodles again?
Yes, 100%.
For a different dish?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
That's kind of a revelation. If you don't want to have like a really carby, heavy, whatever, or if you don't like, you know, pasta, or if you can't eat pasta or something, I think that's a really fun alternative. Or even with like Asian sauces and stuff, that could be really good.
Yeah, breakfast noodles,
genius. Sign me up. Let's open the restaurant right now.
Thanks, Easter, for, you know, you're making us some millions. Because, you know, opening a restaurant really makes you millions.
Yeah. The second thing that I made.
I'm excited to hear about this. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited. I'm just excited. I know.
I'm excited too, because it's really good food. Was the beans with roasted onion aioli.
Ooh. Love that.
Again, so whatever, you know, I said about some...
A rare not red dish.
Not red. This is more, it's shades of beige and brown, but, you know, better than the buffet food that we were talking about before.
Easter, come on, make a buffet. We'll go there.
Red buffet. Oh, that sounds like that Game of Thrones episode where it all went wrong.
Red wedding.
The red wedding. It was the follow-up to the red wedding. It was the red buffet. Sorry.
The wedding breakfast. Anyway.
Again, ooh. I almost had everything in for this. I think I actually did have everything in for this, which was a dream. She said this dish is all about the aioli, which isn't technically an aioli at all because it has cream instead of egg yolks. She does love cream, I will say, with roasted onion and garlic. And she says you can use any beans you like. I use butter beans because, as we know, I'm a fan.
You love them.
But she says...
What's her stance on dry versus tinned?
Well, she doesn't say anything about dry, but she says she prefers jarred because they're soft and perfectly seasoned.
Of course.
But if you're using tinned, to make sure that they're in salted water. I mean, mine were just the shit, like Sainsbury's own, whatever. Yeah. It says butter beans in water. I'm like, I don't know if it's seasoned, mate. But anyway.
Just add some salt in the water before
you... Yeah. You happy? So you roast onions first, you quarter them and you leave the skin on, and you kind of, quarter them, put them in a baking dish, you put them kind of the cut side down, and then you also put in a garlic bulb, but wrapped in the foil. So you chop off the top so that the cloves are kind of exposed. Exposed.
Exposed.
Cover yourself
garlic
up.
Cloves.
Wrap it in foil and put that in the baking dish too, and you roast it all for 18 minutes. Lower the heat.
Ooh, exactly.
Yeah, lower the heat, roast for another 12 till the onions are soft and golden brown. Yes, you boil... An optional addition here, which I did, is you make some kind of jammy boiled eggs to serve on top. So you make them in the kind of same way that I did for Molly, actually. You just boil them for 6.5 minutes and then run them under cold water.
We love a jammy egg on this podcast, just to say.
We do. We are a jammy egg. We're a pair of jammy eggs.
That's our band name of the week.
The jammy eggs. you heat your beans up then on the side. So
Heat your beans.
Heat your beans up. So that's just beans, chicken or veg stock. A little bit, it's not much, it's 120 grams to 400 grams of beans, and then a little bit of lemon juice. Again, she loves lemon. And then on the side, you make your foil aioli. Sorry. I'm so sorry. So you remove the skin from the onions, you kind of put a couple of those aside to just serve on top, but you blitz up most of them with the roasted garlic. So you squeeze all the soft cloves out. And then you put in 60 grams of oil, lemon juice, mustard, which is great in this.
Ooh, it makes fun.
It really sharp. Double cream and some salt. You blitz it all into, this lovely, it looks like an aioli and it tastes incredible. And so then you assemble it all. So you spread your aioli on the plate. Then you put over the beans, and then you put on your eggs if you're using them, and then you kind of scatter over the remaining onions, which just look really pretty. They look like little kind of petals. And then you put over some herbs, some chives and parsley. I didn't have chives, so I just used parsley. And then a drizzle of olive oil and black pepper and salt. And she says to serve it with grilled bread. I actually just ate it on its own. And my God, it was so delicious.
Yeah, my God.
It was so delicious. And I didn't make the whole thing, I don't think, but I just made enough for about 2 servings. And I ate it and I was sad when it was over. It was so good. I was like texting my sister with the like pictures of the recipe being like, I really think you should make this. And then that night I like came back from like a long walk with the dog and I was like, I'm just going to eat the rest. It's so good.
That sounds so good.
That aioli is just delicious because it's got the onions and the roasted onions and garlic. So it's just got a really good depth of flavor. And then the mustard.
Oh man, that sounds so good. And you can imagine it just being good with like, a big fluffy pita or like whatever. Like, she has a recipe for like fried bread that goes with everything.
I love the look of that recipe.
Yeah. Like big, they're like, not like your British buffet breakfast fried bread. Like they're big fluffy rounds, aren't they? Like pitas almost.
Yeah. But crispy.
Oh, it looks great.
Crispy, yeasty. Oh, it's just food that makes you very, very happy. It's delicious. Yeah. Really, really good.
What other bits are you going to go and back and make?
Yeah, this is so genuinely much, right? The thing as well. It's like the fact that I don't want to put this book away. Normally after we finish the podcast, I'm like, I put the book on the shelf and then it's on to the next one. Whereas like tonight I want to make something nice. I'm kind of like, should I just make something else from this book? Because it's all so good. Yeah. Would love to make that fried bread. Would love to do some of the desserts. There's a banana, sesame and maple cake.
Yes.
I think that looks really good.
There's a banana and chocolate pancake as well. Like, not a pancake, a cake made in a pan. Like an upside down kind of chocolate cake. Yeah. That looks delicious.
She's got a miso caramel ice cream bomba, which looks so impressive for if you were entertaining.
Also, she has two recipes, a sweet and a savory one, with crumpets.
Yeah.
Right? I've never seen a crumpet recipe. So one's like a tuna, like a raw tuna thing that looks amazing. And it's, again, it's like she's like, you're not making the crumpets, buy the crumpets and add the stuff on top. And then she has a Black Forest crumpet, like, dessert thing.
Genius. So good. It's a
red... Which I appreciate.
Yeah, red curry sweet potato gratin, which looks really good.
That was on my list,
Chilies, rellenos, which look amazing. There's a tomato and lime galette with spelt pastry. Yes. So much stuff.
There's two dips in the beginning.
The
spicy ginger one.
Yeah.
There's a spicy ginger tomato and sesame. And then there's, honestly, this next one sounds like porn.
Yeah.
Ricotta dip with hot sauce butter pine nuts.
I know. Oh, my God.
Hot sauce butter pine nuts. Put that on my grave.
Tattoo that onto my body. The, I was really tempted to make that, but I knew I would just sit and eat it all.
The one before that, the spicy ginger tomato and sesame, looks also right up your street because it's got like tahini drizzled over it. Mm. And she says you can use it as a dip, you can have it as a pasta sauce, like whatever. And it just sounds, I almost made that, then the curry chicken thing came up, and I was like, I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna do that.
There's a lot of plantains and cassava and stuff as well, which are really interesting.
I love cassavas and plantain, to be honest, but that's obviously very Brazilian.
Yes.
And it's like South Asian has a lot of cassava. In it.
Did you see the upside down plantain omelette with scotch bonnet salsa? Shit, she's good, man.
And I sent this to Hannah the minute I got this book. There's miso butter butternut gnocchi. And again, she says, she's like, buy some good gnocchi.
Yes.
And she's like, there's a recipe in Flavour if you want to make it, which is like, there's a Swede gnocchi that they make that I would love to make. But otherwise, she's like, buy the gnocchi and then you make this sauce with butternut, obviously, and miso and...
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised because I thought at first glance that you were making gnocchi with the butternut, and I was like, oh, God. But no, it's not. You're just mixing it through the gnocchi, which is great.
It's quite funny. In the intro to that, she talks about how you could make, it doesn't have to be gnocchi. It could be beans. And she's like, maybe if you made it with butter beans, it'd be miso butternut butter beans. And she's like,
with butter.
That's funny. With butter.
Anything we haven't talked about that you wanted to make?
No, just there's so much. It all just looks great. Yeah, this book's absolutely worth. I hope we can find some of the recipes for you to see. I think some of them were in The Guardian. She had a feature in The Guardian not long after it came out, I think. So it's maybe the cornbread is in there.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can find them. But if not, it's definitely worth, well, hopefully we've sold it. Should we rate it?
Yeah, let's rate it.
So, should I talk about our rating before we rate?
Yes, please.
Okay. If you're new here. Just saw Doug's butt.
No, that was his head.
Oh. I just saw a little spiky.
He doesn't have a spiky butt. His butt is sweet.
He has a spike. He's a porcupine.
He's behind the laptop right now.
Behind the laptop.
Behind the laptop with Doug Quinn.
Does Doug have a middle name?
No.
Okay.
Can I tell you, so you know how I said last week on the podcast that I call him, when I'm introducing him, I call
Douglas.
Him Douglas, because people think I'm saying dog otherwise. Mm. And so last night I met this woman and she said, oh, what's his name? And I said, Douglas. And she said, oh, that's funny. And I was like, well, it is Doug. And she said that she has a friend who's Glaswegian and that dog is called... That dog is called Fudge, but because she's Glaswegian, everyone thinks she's calling it Vag.
That's so funny.
dog after a vagina.
That's so funny. And
it's, yeah, you would. Anyway, back to racing.
On also funny accents that I saw really, I meant to send you this tweet that I saw, maybe you saw it, that was like, standing in the, standing in the security line in at Dublin Airport and watching bemused Americans with the, when the security guy is shouting, and I'm going to say it in my accent because it was funnier written down. You can take your water, true witches. But in an Irish accent, he's saying through with you.
And then we'll you just can take our water, true witches.
I thought that was so funny. Anyway, rating. So if you're new here,
welcome.
Thank you for joining us. It's a good one to join on. We every episode we rate the book that we are talking about or books, and we have five criteria, and they are the following: usability and accessibility. That's one. Ingredients used, are they easy to find, etc. Aesthetics, how sexy is the book? Is it veggie friendly? And inspirability is the last one. Are we inspired by it? And every episode we have a new rating points thing based on the chef or the book or whatever. And this week on the pod we are rating Easter Belfridge and Mezcla out of
red. It's everywhere.
It's honestly, you flick through this book and everything is red, and that's great, frankly.
Leave me on red
after being at the buffet. Leave me on red. Taylor Swift style. So Hannah, tell us about how many reds out of five you are going to give Mezcla.
I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that I'm going to rate this highly. Usability and accessibility, a point from me. I don't think anything is too tricky. I think everything's explained very well. The methods for most of the recipes are like usually no more than half a page, which is nice. I am going to take a half off for ingredients used, just because of like the polenta or, you know, the habaneros or stuff that might be harder to find. It kills me to do that, to be honest, but you know, I would do it to someone else. Oh my god, we didn't talk about the recipe, the giant cheese on toast with spring onion, honey and herb butter. Holy mother, it's like half of a sourdough. It's like half of a loaf. Sourdough.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Anyway, sorry. Aesthetics, it's beautiful and the photos are very lovely, very Ottolenghi style. Veggie friendliness, yes it is. There's lots of options in here. Whilst there's also meat and fish stuff, but I think for the most part you're not kind of left wanting. And inspirability, if I could give it like 5 points on inspirability, I absolutely would, because I just think it's so exciting and interesting. So it's getting 4.5 reds out of five. Ooh. What about you, my friend?
Exactly the same. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Yeah, took a half a point off for ingredients for exactly the same reasons. There was a couple of tricky ones. Like, she uses ghee, clarified butter, in here a lot. And she asks that you don't get the one in a tin because she thinks it tastes like bubble gum. You get the one in a jar. I have never seen ghee in a jar in a shop. So I don't, yeah, I feel like that would be difficult. I didn't cook anything with that, but I'd noticed it in a lot of the recipes I was looking at. Yeah, same. You know, I think exciting is the perfect word for this. And it says it on the cover. It's like recipes to excite. And I think that is exactly what it is. It's so great. And I also will be keeping it out and like definitely cooking that chicken thing again and the lasagna and everything.
It's so good. We love you. Ah, should we talk about our next episode?
The next episode. It's also on Easter. I love that.
Thank you.
We are going back to the island. No, we're not.
You're just back from the island.
I'm back from the island. I'm back to eating red foods. So next time we are going to do two different books by the same author.
Woop woop.
Woohoo! So we are going to be talking about Rukmini Iyer, who is the author of the series of the Roasting Tin books. There's a few of them. And then newly released India Express, which is not a £1 cookbook, but is a lovely Indian cookbook. And I will be, I, Victoria, commit to talking about the quick roasting tin, which is £1 meals that are all, they all take 30 minutes or less to prepare and cook. And Hannah will be talking about India Express, which is a new book. So we're doing one £1 book and one not.
Which is exciting and interesting.
Yes, the India Express one just came out, and I think it's had a lot of hype. There's a lot of recipes and like bits and pieces that have been out there on social media, similar to Mezclo actually, so I'm excited. And it's good, it'll be cool to see what she does stepping away from £1 stuff.
A lot of people I know, when you go around their house, they have one of those roasting tin books on the shelf.
Yeah,
it appeals to anyone who's just, it doesn't want to faff around or like just weeknight dinners.
It's a good book to be gifted, right? I feel like a lot of people gift it. And how do we feel about the word gift as a verb? I don't know how I feel about it, but I use it.
Yeah, well, else you can say, like, give us a present or give us a gift, I guess. I don't know.
I feel like it's not American. A verb. Yeah, it's, I feel like it's not by default a verb, right? It's something that's been created. Anyway, gifting.
Gifting.
Yes, that's exciting. I'm excited.
Me too.
We're just excited today. Yeah. That's fun, isn't it?
We're both in a lovely Saturday morning mood. We are. Full of promise.
Saturday afternoon. No. But we've been talking about this for so long. It's Saturday afternoon.
Mezclo is fantastic, and anyone who, you know, you're going to know by the sound.
List.
Yeah, you're going to know by the sound of what we've said if it's up your street or not. But it's everything you would hope it would be. Thank you for listening, and join us next time when we talk about Rukmini Iyer.
Yeah, and support us on Patreon if you would like to, where we have just released the first of our minisodes, so you can go listen to that if you
raw and raw minisode unedited
unedited behind the scenes behind the laptop
like Doug right now.
So you can listen to that if you are a Patreon subscriber, and we'd love it if you did that, and thank you to all our subscribers so far.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We love you.
See
Have
you
a
next
great
time.
Day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and leave us a review, as it helps others to find us. You can see how recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye.